An Ashland man is in federal custody this morning, accused of plotting terrorist attacks on U.S. soldiers overseas and on U.S. landmarks here. Authorities arrested 26-year-old Rezwan Furtis yesterday after an elaborate undercover operation. Deborah Becker joins us in the studio this morning to fill us in on what we know and what we don't know. Good morning, Deborah, and thanks for stepping in.
Good morning, Bob.
First of all, tell us about the charges against Furtis.
Well, Furtis is charged with attempting to destroy government buildings, specifically the U.S. Capitol and the Pentagon, with remote-controlled drone aircraft full of explosives. He's also charged with trying to supply materials to al-Qaeda and with trying to kill U.S. troops overseas. Now, authorities, Bob, say that Furtis claimed that he wanted to deal a psychological blow to, quote, the enemies of Allah. And he's alleged to have said that he wanted to, quote, kill as many people as possible.
And authorities found out about this using a big undercover operation.
That's right, Bob. This 42-page affidavit in this case outlines extensive alleged conversations. Conversations, by the way, that are said to be consensually recorded between undercover agents and Furtis. Now, the agents say that they told Furtis that they were recruiters for al-Qaeda. They allege that Furtis, who's a 2008 graduate of Northeastern University with a degree in physics, wanted to commit violent jihad against the U.S. He allegedly told these undercover agents, Bob, that he designed cell phones to be used as detonators to set off explosives. And some of these detonators allegedly were to be used against U.S. troops overseas. At one point, according to the affidavit, the undercover agents told Furtis, falsely, of course, that his device had killed U.S. soldiers in Iraq. And he allegedly told them, quote, that's exactly what I wanted. The affidavit also says Furtis made a training video about how to cheaply construct cell phone detonators, and he wanted to provide those to al-Qaeda members.
Tell us about the remarkable plot, his remarkable plot, alleged plot, to bomb the Capitol building and the Pentagon.
Well, the affidavit says that Furtis received about $7,000 from these undercover agents to purchase remote-controlled drone aircraft. Now, Bob, these planes are about 5.5 feet long. They're about 4 feet wide, and they're models of U.S. military fighter jets. The aircraft apparently can get up to speeds of about 150 miles per hour and carry about 12 pounds of weight. Now, we do have a photo of these aircraft on our website at WBUR.org. The agents told Furtis that they would supply the explosives to put in the planes, and the planes and the detonators were stored at a storage facility in Framingham under the alias that Furtis is said to have used, David Winfield. The aircraft were intended to escape detection, Bob, from commercial flight patterns so they could be directed at the Capitol and the Pentagon. And Furtis is alleged to have provided the agents with computer thumb drives and plans to carry out these alleged bombings. At one point, authorities say that Furtis also expressed an interest in attacking a subway station and killing politicians, but authorities emphasize that the public was never in danger because they say Furtis was always under their surveillance.
So how did he come to their attention? And what about the timing? Why did they finally decide to arrest him yesterday?
Well, how he came to their attention is a good question. It's not exactly clear how law enforcement knew about Furtis. The affidavit, again, which is what we're relying on because authorities are granting no interviews, the affidavit says that he began planning terrorist activity against the U.S. in 2010, and he told authorities, again, according to the affidavit, that he got this idea from reading jihadi websites and watching videos. Now, yesterday, Bob, was the day that the undercover agents arranged to deliver explosives, grenades, and AK-47 assault rifles to Furtis. And they say after Furtis took those explosives and firearms and locked them into that storage unit in Framingham, he was arrested.
So they almost had to do it yesterday because they certainly didn't want to give him any more access to the stuff that they had just supplied
him. Exactly.
What do we know about Furtis in his life here in Massachusetts?
Well, he lived with his brother, younger brother and parents, on a quiet suburban street in Ashland. Not married, no kids. As we said, he's a 2008 graduate of Northeastern. He went to Ashland High School. He was on the track team. He was a drummer in a couple of local bands. He was in trouble, Bob, about 8 years ago, and he was questioned about a high school prank. prank in Ashland and whether that prank was related to two other incidents at the high school. One of those incidents was the burning of an American flag. Furtis reportedly admitted to the prank but denied any involvement in the flag burning. Now, one young man that I ran into, Bob, at the Ashland police station last night, he was filling out a report about a man who he thinks was Furtis approaching the drive-through window at a McDonald's in Ashland last weekend. This young man works at the McDonald's. This is him. He's 16-year-old Billy Butler.
I was at the first window in McDonald's drive-through, and he just said, "Hey, guess what's in the back of this van?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." And he just takes out this big, like, RC remote control kind of thing, and he just says that there's a big plane in the back of this van that can go up to 150 miles per hour. And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's really cool." He's like, "Yeah, it's like a big, cool little jet." And I'm like, "Oh, that's great." And then he's just like, "All right, see you." And I didn't make a big deal out of it at all. And then I heard about this, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh."
Now, Bob, the town census lists Furtis and his brother as students. His father is listed as an engineer. His mother is a healthcare provider.
What are other people in Ashland saying about the family and about Furtis?
Well, mostly, Bob, they're shocked. They say Rezwan Furtis lived on a quiet suburban street with his parents and his brother for the past 13 years. Now, many of his neighbors gathered outside the home yesterday as news helicopters circled overhead and police cruisers and cars clogged their quiet street. I spoke with Pam Cahill, who lives down the street from the Furtis family, and she said she would often talk with Anna Furtis, Rezwan's mother.
Anna's very outgoing and very friendly, very talkative. I don't think I've ever spoken to the father. I have encountered the younger one with his dog. He's a very friendly kid. It's very, very surprising. The whole thing is shocking. I think it's just amazing. It's really disturbing.
Now, most of the neighbors I spoke with, Bob, said that this was a close neighborhood. They had frequent block parties and get-togethers, but they say the Furtis family pretty much kept to themselves.
And so what comes next?
Well, Furtis has a public defender, and he'll be in court for a dangerousness hearing on Monday.
Okay, WBUR's Deborah Becker will be following this story over the next several days leading into Monday. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.